morning, everybody. It's good to see you all. I'm going to be, today is the annual meeting, which is very important. And today I'm going to talk to you about the reading from the book of Jeremiah. You'll be pleased to know that I did find a way to integrate my prop into the sermon right away. It's a hammer. And Jeremiah says, the word of God is like a hammer on a rock. That's about the best I can do in terms of information, but I thought that was pretty good to pull off that. So I'm just going to go to gallery view here so I can see you all a bit better. Great. Okay. Yeah. So today I'm going to talk to you about the reading that we just heard from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. It's the call of Jeremiah to be a prophet. And I'd like all of us to think about a time, maybe when God has asked us to do something, you know, when it's not just our imagination, but when we really have a very clear calling that God has asked us to do something. And our response has been, you know, I'd love to help you, but I think you're talking to the wrong person. And I think it's that guy over there, actually, that you're meaning to speak to. Or, you know, I'd love to help you, but probably even more to the point, I really don't think I'm properly equipped to do what you're asking me to do. I know for me, I was thinking back about this, I was remembering one of the things that was really difficult for me to do at the beginning as a seminary and then eventually as a deacon and a priest was visiting in the hospital. I found that really, really difficult. I think partly because I was reserved in nature. Right now, I mean, now it's hard to get me to shut up. I know, but at the point I was, I was fairly reserved, and I hadn't really spent a lot of time in the hospital. I think this may have been part of it. The only significant time I had spent in a hospital was when my father was going through rather protracted death over the course of years, and I think that may also have been part of it. So I'm thinking, well, this is something I'm called to do, and as a priest, I have to do, but it's something that I didn't feel that I could do, although there really wasn't much choice in the matter. So many of the prophets, as you'll note, thinking about Jeremiah here, many of the prophets, as you'll note, that there's a kind of a familiar pattern, and that is that God will call them to follow him. They'll call him to be a prophet, to announce his words to people. Even more than that, often to speak in public to kings and priests at the national shrines and to perform ritual actions, which seem very strange. Lots of really difficult things to do. Or in the case of Moses, leave the people out of Israel. And you notice there's usually a pattern, which is what they call the pattern of the prophetic call. And it goes like this. But just to use Moses as an example. Moses, here I am in the burning bush. I've revealed myself to you. And I would like to liberate my people from Israel. From Egypt, from slavery in Egypt. And I'm paraphrasing here, by the way. And Moses goes, you know, Lord, that just sounds like a great idea. I'm sure you can find somebody who can do that. My only problem is, you know, I'm a pretty lousy public speaker. And, you know, I think for this kind of job, you need somebody who's a good public speaker. And God goes, well, okay. In that case, Aaron, he's your brother. He's, you know, he's a good public speaker. And Moses goes, well, you know, I mean, that's really nice of you to consider my feelings and provide Aaron for me. But, you know, still, I'm really not the guy to do this. And God just finally goes, Moses, I'm losing my patience. You just got to go. And so you see this repeated in a variety of places. You see Isaiah, call of Isaiah. Isaiah is called and he says, but I'm a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips. And we see Peter when he first encountered Jesus and Jesus calls him, he says, Lord, depart from me for I am a sinful man. I don't know if you remember that part. And today we have another example of a prophetic call. Again, all which seem to kind of have the same pattern, maybe because we all kind of respond the same way. And that is that the Lord appears to Jeremiah, as you just heard, and says to Jeremiah, you know, I have set you as a prophet to be sent to the nations. And not just to Israel, this is the one of settling parts, not just to Israel, but to the nations, which probably means the surrounding countries, which are the enemies of Israel. And Jeremiah, you know, everybody expresses their limitations when they hear the call, right? And Jeremiah goes, you know, you got Moses, really, I'm a lousy public speaker. You got Isaiah, I'm too sinful. You got Peter, I'm too sinful. You know, you can go on and on. Jeremiah goes, you know, I'm just a kid, Lord. How can I do this? I'm just a kid. I'm just a youth. And the Lord says, well, don't say you're just a youth because, you know, I'm going to give my words to you. But if you just stop for a minute, you can kind of stop for a minute and think about what's going on. Jeremiah is not kidding. He actually is just a youth. As far as we can figure out, his first major speech at the temple was when he was 18 years old. And so at the point where he's received this prophetic call, where God has called him to speak to the nations, he's a teenager, maybe 15, 16 years old, something like that. And so you've got to say, well, you've got to have a little, and this is a culture which really venerates age and equates it with wisdom. So you got to have a little sympathy with Jeremiah, and you're going, yeah, in this particular case, you know, I think you've got a pretty good case, Jeremiah. If you're a 16-year-old and you're called to speak to the kings and the princes, to go to Moab, to go to Edom, to talk to them, I think you've got a pretty good case. We could say, well, maybe the Lord is going, wouldn't it be good? You know, youth are so innocent and so fresh, and maybe it would be good. Maybe that's the purpose of this, you know, the innocence of youth. But the Lord makes it clear that that's not why he's calling him. That may be helpful, but that's not the reason he's calling him. The reason that God has called Jeremiah is this, and he says so, you know, in the midst of all Jeremiah's objections, he says, the reason I called you is this, because before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I commissioned you. In other words, God's reason, despite in the midst of Jeremiah's objections, says, well, why would you choose me? Implicitly he's going, why would you choose me? And God's answer is, yeah, I have a good answer for you. I chose you because I chose you. And end of argument. We may not like that very much because we live in a little meritocracy, but that is the way God works. God says the same thing about Israel, doesn't he? He says, you were not the greatest of people. You know, you weren't the most famous. You weren't the richest, blah, blah, blah. But I chose you because I chose you. I chose you because I love you. It's that simple. There's a famous little essay. Sorry, I don't want to quote names of famous philosophers here and all that, but I'm going to. I just preface to say what I'm actually going to do. there's a famous little essay by a guy named Kierkegaard, famous 19th century philosopher, and he goes, he wrote a little essay called "The Difference Between a Genius and an Apostle," and he says, you know, some people say St. Paul was a genius. St. Paul, one of the great minds of Western civilization. St. Paul, what a great philosopher. St. Paul, what a superb writer. You've got Tolstoy. You've got Hemingway, and then you've got St. Paul. And the writer Kierkegaard goes, that kind of misses the point completely. The important thing about St. Paul is not that he was a genius. He may or may not have been a genius. The point is that he was called, that he was sent, and that he went where he was sent. That's what it means to be an apostle. And in the mystery of God's plan, why he chose St. Paul, we don't know, except he chose him because he chose him. I just want to read you this little quote here from a well-known writer. He said, the Christian's heart and all that he may desire and need, and not only his heart, but also reason and conscience and all are really above with God. This is the part. The Christian is God's prisoner and therefore stands firmly on this rock and is solidly at home in this fortress. It's hard. You think about the image of being a prisoner doesn't seem really reassuring, but when you're God's prisoner, it's very reassuring. And that we stand upon this hope and this fortress. And that's all there really is to know. This parish, over the last number of months, I've had a chance to talk to the folks in this parish. And I'm thinking about limitations here. You know, I'm thinking about the limitations that Jeremiah expressed, Isaiah, Moses expressed. And our parish certainly has had experienced in its history a lot of limitations. That's for sure, as well as some really wonderful gifts. But the Lord has something very clear to say to us, and that is this. Think of that encounter between Jeremiah and God. That's an encounter. You can think of that as an encounter in prayer. You and I often think of the way things should be and the way things go. But when we encounter God in prayer, he often helps us to see things very differently. And he often helps us to see that the things that we experience as being our limitations are, in God's eyes, well, even usable. They're even usable. And the Lord generally says, well, yeah, okay. But so did this, we can say, well, I think of myself visiting in the hospital, and through some training and my fear of it, and I think of it through my some training, through some practice, and through constant exposure, it's now one of my favorite places to go. And the reason it's one of my favorite places to go, despite my many limitations, is because Jesus is there. When I go there, Jesus always happens to show up. Jesus has chosen the people of St. George's. I can say this. I have talked to people over the last 6 months. Jesus has chosen the people of George's to unite himself to them. He has placed his words on your mouth. That is clear as well. And to fulfill the other part of Jeremiah's prophecy, he has made you a light to the neighborhood. He has called you, despite any limitations that you've experienced, that we've experienced in the past, and frustrations. God has called you. He will lead you. He will equip you. And why? Why would he do that? Just because. Just because he chose you, he loves you, and he set you aside and commissioned you before the foundation of the world. So all of us Jeremiahs here can go, are you sure you're not calling somebody else? Look at me. Look at all my limitations. God says, are you kidding? I chose you from the beginning of the world. Amen.